Okay, so you're listening to Able On Demand from Scotland, and I'm in the offices today of the Festival of Scottish Mental Health and Art Film Festival with Lee McNiff. Hi, Lee.
Hiya, how you doing?
And yeah, not bad. Thanks for taking time out to speak to me. I know that you're a busy man.
It's getting busy at the moment. The festival's just building up, and we start on Monday. The 1st of October. So
Monday the 1st. Hopefully this interview will get put up today and Friday, so people know what's happening and over the weekend. So first up, who came up with the idea for the mental health festival?
Well, it's a long story, but I'll keep it quite brief. It happened, there's a guy, Peter Byrne, down in London, who's a psychiatrist who did his PhD in film. And one of the things we were interested in, we think that it was about stigma and it was about discrimination. And we always felt that campaigns can only take you so far. And what we know is that stigma isn't just a logical thing or an illogical thing. It's about emotion. And the way that we engage people emotionally in all sorts of areas of life, and it's been done in civil rights campaigns throughout history, is we use the arts, whether that's poetry, whether it's song, whether it's performance. So what we felt was people often worry about using the arts to tackle stigma and discrimination in health issues because they feel it's not a controllable thing. You know, you can't give three key messages. It's not easy and it's not neat. But unless you embrace a cultural and artistic a way of trying to deal with what are, you know, deeply entrenched social problems and injustices, then I don't think you're ever really going to tackle this. So that's one explanation. The other explanation is we're having a drink in a bar, and we said what we should do is we should try a weekend of film. And there's a bit of truth to that as well. But in what happens was, so we started with a weekend of film in Glasgow, and people just rallied round. There's a real alliance of people, people that define themselves as service users, other people that actively didn't but felt they had a mental health problem or had mental health issues, and it was a positive thing in their life. Artists, businesses, art centres. So people came round, and over the 6 years it's formed a real alliance. So nobody's allowed, no individual charities can lobby off the back of it. It's not a fundraiser at all. Nobody's allowed to. It's all about the message. And so it's this alliance of 200 organisations, and we create the kind of platform to give a voice to different people.
Now, you've been going for 6 years, the festival I'm talking about, and every year you come up with a theme. Now, this year's theme is Walking On My Shoes. Why did you come up with that name, and how is it important to have a kind of like theme every year?
Well, we in the first 2 years and into the third year, we didn't theme the festival so that individuals and groups could bring to the festival things that were important to them that they'd been working on or anything else. But as the festival expanded, and we're now in 17 parts of the country, from, you know, Highlands and Islands right through to the city centre, so we needed to orchestrate that. And I think rather than control, it's about orchestrating the festival. And people were seeking a bit more direction, so a bit more coherence, so that we can keep the messages and clearer. But also, I think the artists were, again, really quite liked the kind of enough structure without too much structure. So last year's theme was around memory, and it was a really beautiful theme. And the year before, we'd looked particularly around gender and sort of Hollywood icons and sort of female Hollywood icons. So again, it really picked up a lot of attention. This year, we've picked Walk In My Shoes, and I think it's maybe it'd be really interesting for the listeners, in the sense that the festival's not as broadened from what initially started as maybe mental ill health to people thinking about identity more broadly. So we have contributions from Black History groups, from LGB groups, from people who would say they have a disability of some kind, people with learning difficulties, a whole range. People and the audience disproportionately come from low-income and poorer areas. So this was an idea that we're broadening the festival beyond a diagnostic labelling type festival to the idea that anyone who has disadvantaged circumstances or unfairly stigmatised identities can sort of rally round and feel that they're part of a collective. So walk in my shoes. That's a long-winded, boring explanation. Basically, it's around empathy, and it's a fantastic theme. So people really got into it.
I saw the programme last year, and you've got some brilliant events. We'll put these events up for you on the website at ableradio.com. Now, you answered my next question and my previous question about you have shows up in Inverness and stuff like that. I believe this is the first year that you took the show outside Glasgow, is that right?
No, we started in Glasgow, but each year we've broadened. So in our second and third year in Edinburgh and Lanarkshire, we're in from the very beginning. So the central belt we're always in, but each year more and more areas have joined us, and they have their own identity, their own mini festival. So in Moray, so a small area in the north of Scotland, they've got the Wellbeing Festival, and they're doing things around random acts of kindness. They're really taking it in. Highlands and islands come together, and again have often very different themes, and they do puppetry, all sorts of different fashion shows, very different approaches. But we now cover nearly all of Scotland, so it's quite amazing, really. It's a real, but each, so then we in Glasgow and Edinburgh, we set the kind of tone by doing some national programming, and then all the areas follow and sometimes exceed what we do.
I mentioned that you can see all the events on ableradio.com. Just give us one or two snippets of the events that's happening this year.
Well, it's so subjective, isn't it? But we try to broaden out so that we can include lots of people. So Edinburgh next Saturday the 7th, is that? We've got John Hegley, 6th or 7th, doing Animal Alpha Vote, and he's that's something for families. I should say, in talking about the events, they're all low cost or affordable. So we've got a community opera with Scottish Opera looking at homelessness in Maryhill. We have, one of the things that I think is quite exciting is we've got musicians curating films. So Douglas and Douglas Stewart's, he's got Serious Drugs on in Edinburgh. I guess the coup of the festival this year is we've got IANA, which is the national release, and we've got the first screening in Scotland of IANA with Charlotte Rampling, and her son Barnaby, who's directing it, is coming up and doing the Q&A at the Film House. But if I could just get everybody to one event, and I could always choose the International Film Awards at the Film House on the 24th of October, a really wonderful way of finding just what's out there. So we have a competition each year where people submit films from around the world, and the winning films are all recognised on the 24th in the evening. It gets towards the end of the festival. And then we have a big gig for about 1,000 people in the picture house there the day after that. So if you see the website, the end of the festival is always great.
I think I'll go to the one the day after, because it's actually my birthday and the Queen's house. So,
it seems like a good excuse.
I do a big birthday party for me. Thanks for putting it on to me.
I think you should start the birthday party on the 24th.
I started my birthday today. and it's not even October yet. So basically...
But I think that, sorry, I'm interrupting it, but I think that is a good point, because one of the things we're trying to do is, although the issues are serious and the events sometimes are really quite emotionally charged and difficult, we do try and make sure people have a good time, because if you want audiences and everything else, ultimately it's an arts festival, not a social campaign. Hopefully there's huge social benefits, but it is an arts festival, and ultimately you want people to have a good time, and that is part of it. And I think just picking up on it there, I think if you're going there just to, in a really serious way, you're often, it's not what we want. It's about having fun.
And let your hair down sometimes as well and enjoy it. 6 years this has been going. So I take it you've been getting feedback over the years after the festival, and what has the feedback been like? Has it been positive or?
It's been great. It's a kind of a partnership of organisations to keep it going, so it's not dependent on one funder, which is important. And I think often the feedback you see for yourself, the common sense feedback from the audience and others is important, and you get a sense of when things are going well and less well. The Scottish Government have put it in their national policy, and the European Commission asked us to present this. So there's now a version in Dublin, there's going to be one in London. So that's one way of knowing that it's doing something good. I guess the other side, we've done quite a lot of academic studies on the festival, on who we reach. And again, we talked about, you know, we disproportionately reach people who are poor in low income areas, and I think neither the arts or health often do that. But we've had studies on the impact on audience members, and it's quite interesting. So we did some sort of scientific stuff, doing measuring attitudes, stigmatizing attitudes before and afterwards, really positive results. But, and I think this is important, because it's not just about doing any old arts event, some events reinforced an existing prejudice. And I think that's really important, that if you show certain art forms without context, you can actually do more harm than more good. And I think that's an important, you know, point to come through, and it's nice. But the other thing that came through was the idea of critical distance, that the arts provide enough distance to a subject that might be quite difficult to engage with, that it allows you to come closer than if you have to talk about it in the first person. So it's really interesting, formal studies as well as the more common sense stuff.
I've often wondered if you hold, you know, festivals like the Mental Health Festival and Disability Festivals, because yeah. I've run festivals in the past, if people come forward without a learning disability and a mental health issue to say, wow, that was brilliant, I'll be back next year.
Well, I think we're very different in nature from something like Mad Pride, quite deliberately. Not that everything has its place, but we're not quite like that. And I think that gets back to you, it's exactly your point, because I think what often festivals of that type do is they're incredibly valuable in empowering a community and consolidating that human rights, civil rights approach, and that's an important part of it. But for us, we wanted to kind of create a blurriness about mental health and mental health identities. So we all have mental health identities. You can only discriminate if you have a concept of otherness. So what we're trying to do is break down that barrier of what mental health is. And so we recognise we all have often things are all on a spectrum, not to minimise the support and money and everything else that people deserve and should get, but to recognise it's on a spectrum for most of us, and it's a slightly different way of doing it. And I think that's helped with our audiences. So we have about 70,000 attenders, and around a quarter of those would be there because they've used a mental health service or because they work in mental health, but three quarters are not.
Mm.
And so that's quite
that's interesting.
An interesting point, yeah.
So finally, because I know you're busy and stuff like that, can you give us a website address, and if you've got a Facebook page? Or
we have. The website is mhfestival.com. So mhfestival.com, and we've got a Facebook and Twitter account and everything, and our marketing manager has come over from Lyon. He works in the Lyonnais Festival, and he's doing some really interesting work where we've got people going out. We've got our own interviewing scheme, so each day the stories from the festival that are appearing to give you a bit more insight, previews, reviews and everything else. So the site's staying kind of lively, and we're not totally dependent on the wider media to get those stories out. So it's kind of interesting site, and we're really, if you can sign up to our Facebook site, that'd be fantastic, because it's a real show of support.
Okay, well, thanks for your time, and good luck for the festival, and hopefully we can speak soon.
Hopefully, and thank you for coming along.
Thank you.